Justice and hope exists every day on this fine program. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is the 5 o'clock hour, and ladies and gentlemen, that means that it is the Civic Media Green and Gold Multi-State, not statewide, Multi-State Text to Win Contest, where we give away a daily prize of either $200 or gold jewelry. And when you enter, you will also be entered to win our grand prize of 2 club-level indoor, that's the important part, indoor seats to the Green Bay versus Minnesota football game on November 23rd, 2025 at noon, plus a gas card to get you there and back. $1,500 value. You cannot beat that, folks. So you've got to text in the word that I'm about to give you via the Civic Media app. Don't do it the old-fashioned way. Go get that app for free wherever you get your apps from. And the word to win this hour is radio. R-A-D-I-O, as in you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good luck to each and every one of you. With that, we're going to get back to our very special programming, this edition of the Maggie Dawn Show, coming to you live from Hilltop Farm here in Spring Green, Wisconsin, where the Reisinger family has raised both animals and crops for over 100 years. We're joined this next half hour by both Brian Reisinger, author of what I think is one of the best encapsulations of the evolution of the American family farm that has been written in quite some time. It's called Land Rich, Cash Poor. I've purchased a whole bunch of copies. I've got it on Audible. I'm probably going to use it as a reference book because there's so much great information in there. Brian's with me, as well as Derek Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Welcome back, Brian, and welcome, Derek. Thank you so much for being here. Before we got on the air, Derek, you were just sharing your family's farming story and the fact that your family's farm is at a pivot point as well. Your son going to be taking over the reins. Tell us a little about you and your family's farming background.
Yeah, and just so make sure it's Darren.
Darren,
not Derek.
I'm so sorry.
But that's okay.
Let's get the names right, Maggie. I mean, geez. Thank you, Darren.
Yeah. So I'm third generation organic dairy farmer, and my son in the fourth generation is in that process of buying the cattle and machinery right now. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have the transaction on the land and buildings taken care of. And it's great to see that next generation and, you know, watching the neighbors and fellow farmers across the country struggle the way they do with just the economics of farming and being able to hand that down to the next generation. And they have the positive attitude about we want to farm and get that next generation, hopefully, on the farm down the road, too. It's something that really, you know, gives you a great feeling that that it's happening. And so it's very frustrating and graduated high school from in 86 and looking at the farm crisis that happened there. I had two classmates that lost their dads within a couple weeks, our junior year in high school. And so dealing with that, you know, how do you look at it? They're both still farming yet today too, which is good. But, you know, anytime that there's a real steep drop in prices on farm, whether it's dairy or crops or cattle, you always worry about them because you know that there's a family history there. And how do you or can you step in and help too? And, you know, I think some of the previous discussions too are just need to happen more often, actually, because you could tell when people's mindset changes, when their attitudes change, you know, just bodily functions too, once in a while, you notice that they're walking drooped over instead of with strong shoulders. You know, there's so many other indications out there that really give you that sense on something needs to happen. And sometimes it's just a word here that makes a big difference, and let them have that shoulder to lean on. If they need to cry on it too, let them cry on it too. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Darren. And let me just say, congratulations to your family for now entering into the fourth generation and your son taking over your family's great tradition as well. Darren mentioned a bit about this sort of pinch that happens for farming families, Brian, and you wrote about this, I think, very clearly in your book. Explain to folks a little bit about how sometimes the good times aren't all that great, and even the hard times even worse. Farmers get it going and coming. Explain to folks what that's about.
Well, we've been losing farms in this country for more than a century, 45,000 farms a year. And it's because of all kinds of big things, economic crises. We don't understand how they affect the farmer. governmental decisions from both sides of the aisle, technology that moves agriculture forward but needlessly leaves some farmers behind. What all these things boil down to, though, is farmers are in a very odd economic situation where when you have a good crop and you produce a lot and the Lord blesses you with something good in the fall, that means a lot of other farmers might have had a good crop too. And there's a lot of crops on the market.
A lot of supply.
A lot of supply. And we know what happens then, the price goes down. And so farmers are in this position. And then when you flip it around, and if the price is up, it might be because it's been a hard year, weather-wise or anything else, it's wiped out the crop yield that year. So every year, whether the price is good or bad, or whether you had a good crop or a bad crop, all you can do is produce more. And so they say farmers can produce themselves out of prosperity. It's because, not because they want to do that. Yeah. It's because they're in this dilemma where whether you have a good crop or a bad crop, the economics keep on squeezing you. And it's getting worse for all kinds of different reasons, but that is just a situation that farmers have. You know, you're kind of danged if you do, danged if you don't sort of situation. That's the clean way to say it on the radio.
You can say damn, but that's I appreciate your P's and Q's, Brian, very much. Certainly I've wanted to say worse words on the radio and haven't. And that's where the Farmers Union comes in, Darren. It's been around for a long time, but its origin comes from one of those incredible tipping points in the American agricultural past. Tell us a little bit about the founding of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and a little bit about what you folks do.
Yeah, so we were formed back in 1930, so we're celebrating our 95th anniversary this year now. And, you know, really, things haven't changed all that much from our origins. Our forefathers were looking at being squeezed out of business really from the purchasing side of farms, and formed Farmers Union Central Exchange, which was the products that farmers need to produce the food that we do and grow the crops and all that, and really looking at how there was one or two companies that were really in the business at that time. So forming the cooperative allowed that purchase power within 100 farms instead of one farm to really come together and look at that. And we're still doing that yet today. Still got that struggle. You know, if you look at the antitrust issues that we have in this country today, the Kaprovolstad Act was formed in 1922, and that's a cooperative mindset there. And how do we continue to work together and be able to help each other out as neighbors and fellow farmers? And we're still fighting to keep that alive today. We have a lobby day in Madison once a year in the spring that we go down and talk about the biggest issues that are out there at that particular point in time. We also go to Washington, D.C. at least once a year. We were just out there a couple weeks ago to hopefully get a farm bill passed. It's not looking like that's going to be too promising at all because of all the other issues that are facing the economy and the government right now. And, you know, it's frustrating because it's supposed to be done every 5 years. They're already 2 years behind schedule, and now we're probably going to be another year behind schedule yet. And that's where that uncertainty that, you know, farmers, you know, deal with it pretty good on a daily basis, but when you get too many uncertainties in a row on a regular basis, it really starts to pull at you. And when you see that happening to a generation that is just starting out, like my son, you know, it's hard for that generation to accept what's going on today, because sometimes they don't always see that when they're growing up.
Yeah,
people are really good about hiding feelings once in a while, and it's
in Wisconsin? Get out of here, Darren.
Yeah.
You mentioned consolidation. Just a few facts for people. Generally speaking, economists look at about a 40% market share as being the point at which, if you've got one company or a small set of companies that own more than 40% of market share, that they start to be able to exercise price controls and basically anti-free market behaviors. And when you look into the agricultural industry in the United States, the consolidation of all sorts of subsectors within agriculture has been incredibly accelerating. We look at cottonseed. 90% of that market is controlled by four or fewer corporations. Beef processing, 85%. Corn seed, 80%. Soybean crushing, 80%. Fertilizer, 70%. I can go down the entire list, and is simply consolidating. And you mentioned uncertainty, Darren. Brian, in your book, you talk about the farmer as entrepreneur innovator, someone that has to worry about input costs, labor costs, all of the uncertain weather predictions. It is literally as if the farmer has to do all of the things incredibly well. I do not know any other line of business where you have to be good at everything in order to put food on your family's table and to have some sense of stability. And it's all rooted in this uncertainty. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's impacted the last 20 years in the agricultural industry and the family farmer.
Absolutely. You're so right about all those factors. And what's been happening is for decades now, all these forces have been closing in and the input costs have been rising, but the market opportunities haven't been keeping up. So sometimes the price for one type of crop or product goes up or it goes down, but it never really keeps pace with the increased costs the farmer has. And the farmer, as you say, is both business owner and laborer. You know, the farmer represents a lot of different parts of our economy all at once, and they have to deal with that squeeze. And so what ends up happening is you have families that generation after generation, they're trying to move forward, and you got moms and dads who are saying, boy, can we hold on and continue to make it? Should I hold on until the day when I tell my family we can't make it anymore? Or do we turn around and sell, which is like losing everything else? Because when your dad or your mom is farming, growing up like I did, it's not only your home, it's your community, it's your way of life, it's your heritage, it's everything. Mm. And so the farmers are in that dilemma of holding on and maybe not making it, or selling and losing everything else.
Gentlemen, what I hear from this, and certainly it came through, Brian, in your book, again, folks, that's Land Rich, Cash Poor, was this sad reality that issues relating the agricultural economy are not, frankly, well understood or well discussed, well analyzed by elected officials on either side of the aisle. There's a great gulf of lack of understanding. It's one of the reasons that I think your book is so powerful, Brian. I think it should be required reading for every member of Congress and every elected official in the state of Wisconsin. I was humbled by it, pointed out a lot of gaps in my own knowledge, and I thought I was a pretty knowledgeable Wisconsinite. When we come back with, again, folks, we're joined by Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Brian Reisinger of the Reisinger Family Farm, author of Land Rich, Cash Poor. I want to talk about specific policies. Why is it that every 5 years when the farm bill is up, it's all of a sudden, you know, like the elected officials are scurrying. I don't want to actually use the insect word, you know, like when you flip the light on, they don't know what's going on. They can't figure it out. It's oh so complicated. And the power of the mega agribusinesses lobbying arm, what that's doing, what the agenda for the Wisconsin Farmers Union is. We're going to discuss all of that and so much more on the other side. Stay with us for this very special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a beautiful day and we're having a great discussion. Keep it locked, folks.